Take your Bibles, if you will. Book of Matthew, chapter 12. The book of Matthew. Matthew, chapter 12. Title of the morning's message is simply Taking a Stand for Christ. Taking a Stand for Christ. L.G. Curtis writes, quote, "We need more Christians who have convictions. Christians who stand for something, live for something, and are willing to die for something." Unquote. We as the church are never to forget the great commandment given to Israel. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and all thy might," Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And then in verse 12a, it says, "Beware lest you forget the Lord, lest you forget all that he has done for us." We forget the salvation that he provides. Beware. As you know, yesterday, 9/11, is an important day in American history. Stephen Greenhouse writes, quote, "It is hard to fathom that teens now entering college or serving in the armed forces were not yet born on that unforgettable Tuesday morning 20 years ago. Nearly 3,000 people died in Manhattan, at the Pentagon, and in a Pennsylvania field on September 11, 2001, in what remains the deadliest act of terrorism in history," unquote. Let me read you a few facts that I'm sure you already know. But at 8:46, American Airlines Flight 11 from Boston, bound for Los Angeles, crashed into the World Trade Center's North Tower between the 93rd and 99th floors. At 9:03 a.m., United Airlines Flight 175, also from Boston, headed to L.A., crashed into the World Trade Center's South Tower between the 77th and 85th floors. At 9:37 a.m., American Flight 77, bound for from the Washington area to Los Angeles, crashed into the western side of the Pentagon. At 9:59, the South Tower collapsed. After burning for nearly an hour, the South Tower fell within 10 seconds. At 10:03, United Flight 93, headed to San Francisco from Newark, New Jersey, crashed into an empty field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, forever remembered by the words, "Let's roll." At 10:28 a.m., the North Tower collapsed. Nearly 40% still have nothing to bury. Every year on September 11th, memorial lights shine to honor those lost. May we shine the light of our Lord's glory daily. Taking a stand for Christ. It shouldn't be just some cute saying on a Sunday morning. It's something that we need to do day by day. In Matthew 13, we find the parable of the sower. And the seed sown is the word of God, the message of salvation. And what we need in our churches today is the word of God proclaiming the need of salvation. Amen. The need to repent, the need to ask the Lord to become their Savior, and the need to serve Him faithfully. Many are willing to hear the message. But according to Jesus, the wicked one is quick to remove the meaning of the message, replacing it with his own message. Some accept the word with joy, but immediately, and unfortunately, because they have no root system or support system, they only endure for a while. And in my 46 years of ministering here at the Covenant Baptist Church, first as a youth director and then everything else in between to where I am today, I have seen all too many simply stay for a few weeks or months. Some accept the word with joy, but the Bible says when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Third, there are those who hear the word and accept, but are led astray, as the Bible says, by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, which choke the word. How sad it is when other things become of more importance than God's word. But we should be very glad for those that hear, those that believe, and stand for Christ no matter the situation. Shall we stand together as we read from Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the two that were baptized this morning. We ask, Lord, on their behalf that they would be willing to stand for the cause of Christ their whole life through. Lord, we ask now that you would bless this time in the scriptures. Lord, may we determine to stand true for the cause of Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Let me reread verse 30 for you. "He that is not with me is against me." In other words, Jesus is saying that we need to stand true with him and for him. And how important it is that we can be held accountable. Point number one, we must take a stand in Christ or regeneration. What does it mean to take a stand in Christ? It means that one must be born again. They must have experienced the grace that God has given them through repentance and faith. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Bible clearly tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think we all like to receive gifts. And the greatest gift that we could ever receive is that forgiveness of sins and the spending of eternity with our Lord and Savior in heaven. Amen. It means that one must openly confess Christ as his Savior. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. So the greatest decision you will ever make in your life is accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I do hope that all of you that are here today have come to that point where you realize that you needed a Savior and that you asked Him to come and to save your soul. It means that one must embrace the Lord's lifestyle and His doctrines and teachings. Bill West writes, "People throughout history and across cultures have associated the word blessed with material riches and having few problems. But Jesus redefined who is truly blessed in His Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5, Jesus tells His followers that the blessed are those who are poor in spirit, mournful, meek, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and who are reviled by this world for Jesus' sake." Now, this does not sound like the path to being rich and loved, which is today's version of blessed. Yet, for those who follow Jesus, they will accept the Lord's teachings, unquote. In other words, the Lord says, those of you that are willing to stand no matter what for the cause of Christ will be blessed, even if you go through the difficult times of life. Point number two, we must take a stand with Christ. Identification. To take a stand with Christ. Last night, for the first time in the history of Jimmy John Stadium, I was there. The first time ever. And as the two teams took the field, I did not know a single player. I didn't know anyone that was out there that played. And though it was an interesting game, Donna and I left early. She could only stand so much. But the fact of the matter is, I was not there because of either of the teams that were playing. I wasn't wearing any of their t-shirts or their baseball caps. I did not cheer for a single player. I could not be identified as one of their fans. Today, the Detroit Lions are going to be playing at Ford Field, and I can tell you the score right now that the one with the most points wins. And it won't be the Lions. But the fact is, some people are fans for the Lions, and they wear their t-shirts. They fly their flags. They identify with the Detroit Lions. Do you identify with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you stand for Him? We find that one must identify himself with the body of Christ, the church. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Our Lord loves the church. And we are to love it also. One must identify himself with the cause of righteousness in every department of life. Not just part-time, but full-time. 24/7, 365, that we are a born-again Bible believer that is willing to stand for the cause of Christ. One must suffer with Christ in loyalty. We find in Christian persecution section of Israel, My Glory, these thoughts. A house church in Vietnam may face criminal persecution and has faced community hatred due to COVID-19. A couple at the church tested positive for the virus and being investigated for violating the law against the spreading against spreading dangerous infectious diseases in humans. As soon as the couple tested positive, Vietnam's highly organized tracing system went into action. Now remember, how many people in the church tested positive? Two. Soon, officials claimed to have identified 211 other positive cases connected with the church. Even though only 7 people were at the meeting in question, well below the 20-person limit the government posed during the last 2 weeks of May. So they were not accusing the people who infected the two, they're accusing the two. Before the dust settled, the church has been accused of infecting 200,000 residents in 16 districts of Ho Chi Minh City. The concern is that some Vietnam authorities may intend to use the COVID-19 spread as a cover to oppose faith groups, particularly evangelicals, unquote. Can I tell you this, that Satan's desire is to shut down every Bible-believing church? That his desire is to make the church take its eyes off the Lord and turn them to other things. But folks, we must be willing to stand no matter the cost. Point number three, we must take a stand for Christ loyalty. Are we loyal? This calls for a complete surrender to the will of Christ. That's easier said than done. How many of us, even in church, have a hard time being faithful to the Lord? We find ourselves looking at our cell phones. We find ourselves drifting in other directions. The fact of the matter is we have a hard time giving ourselves over to the Lord. And yet we need to be loyal. Loyal to the Lord. A stand against the enemies of Christ in whatever form they may appear. So guarding against evil is taking a stand. Folks, we have a lot of things in today's world that have been accepted as the norm. But if the Bible is against it, it is still wrong. Amen. God's word is true. It's eternal. And we are to follow it. A stand against the enemies of Christ is something that we say we're going to do. And do it. A true witness for Christ in the presence of others. Someone has well said that we are to share the gospel and if necessary, share it with the word. You say, well, what does that mean? That means your life should be a testimony of the cause of Christ. That there are those who know who you are by your actions. Your actions. Believers must understand these two thoughts of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. Number one, from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And folks, we live in a world that is doomed and damned for hell because they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Religion will not save. It has never saved. Religion is man's attempt to get in good graces with God, but God has said all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags and that we must come to him humbly asking for forgiveness. And they must be taught that repentance is necessary. Jesus taught repentance. The Apostle Paul taught repentance. John the Baptist taught repentance, and we need to be willing to repent. And then number two, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. He doesn't end the verse there. He ends with this thought. I speak this to your shame. I speak this to your shame because we are not standing up for the cause of Christ. We need to do this. The Bible tells us that when we that are saved stand before God, He will wipe away our tears. And you say, well, what are these tears caused by? Well, I'm not going to give you my whole sermon, but that will be on October the 31st. But one reason that we will cry is because we realize that we have not stood for the cause of Christ the way we should. In conclusion, let us take a stand for Christ, that the church may be strengthened and made aggressive. Do you think the church should be aggressive? The church should be. The early church was very aggressive. That the devil is defeated. You think we can defeat the devil? Not in our strength, but in His strength. That the forces of moral and social evil are broken down. That the lost are brought to Christ. That Christians will act like Him in heaven, made to rejoice in the glorifying of our Father and our God. On Friday night, my wife and I went to the Women and Teen Pregnancy Center's concert. And they had a family that was going to sing. And the man, the husband, the father, the evangelist, is a very gifted singer. And he sang a song that many of you know. And he sang seven parts that he'd recorded. Seven different parts. And as it was playing, he sang the harmony. So that we were hearing him eight times. Eight times. It was amazing. It was amazing. Can I say this? It brought glory to the Lord. What are we doing to bring glory to the Lord? What was the last thing you did that brought glory to the Lord? When was the last time you made a definite stand for the cause of Christ? That you let people know their need of salvation. The book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." They may see your good works not because you want to be saved, but because you are saved. So that you can bring glory to the Heavenly Father. I've given you this illustration before, that when I went off to college in Texas, and as I stood there outside the airport building before I would go in and then board a plane to Love Field in Dallas, Texas, my dad told me that I was a representative of the Madonna family. And he said, "I don't want you to do anything that will bring shame to the name Madonna." He said, "I want you to remember that you represent the Covenant Baptist Church of Sterling Heights, Michigan." He says, "I don't want you to do anything that will bring shame to this church." And then he said, "I want you to remember that you represent your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." In other words, we represent Christ as ambassadors, and we need to make sure that we do not bring shame to His holy name. We read this verse last Sunday, but I think it fits today. From Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, "And they overcame him," that being Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." In other words, there will be those through the tribulation time that will die for the cause of Christ. Even in our world today, there are those who are dying for the cause of Christ. May I say this, if you know the Lord is your Savior, you should be willing to stand up no matter the cost. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ephesians 6, 11, or 10, 11, and 13. Paul said to that church at Ephesus to withstand in the evil day. Folks, men and women were evil then, and they're evil today, but we must be willing to stand to be a light for the cause of Christ. Shall we stand together? Our invitation song this morning will be number 17. Maybe you would like to come and pray and ask the Lord that He would give you strength to stand. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what you have to do so. If you'd like to be baptized, come and let us be known, or join the church. You can also let that be known also. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that the Spirit would move at this time, that You would contain the evil one, and that, Lord, people would make decisions that would bring honor to You. And we ask Your will to be done at this time, in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.